Hi, I'm Caroline Stephen, financial journalist. I have a treat on today's episode of Talking Trading. Tom Basso is a stock and commodities trader who was profiled in New Market Wizards. He was the founder and president of Trendstat Capital Management and is the author of two books, Panic Proof Investing and The Frustrated Investor. Jack Schwager famously tagged Tom as Mr. Serenity, and in today's interview we find out why. Amongst other things, Tom and I discuss risk and volatility control, his two famous silver stories that impacted him the most during his trading career, and the key ingredients he believes you need for successful trading. Tom is now supposedly retired, but there is no half-life for those steeped in the trading world. Tom Basso, hello and welcome to Talking Trading.
Hello, Caroline.
Tom, tell us from the very beginning, when and why did you get interested in trading?
Well, I was a paper boy at 12 years old, and I was making about 12 U.S. dollars a week and had no idea what to do with the money, and I know I wanted to save for college. My father was a postal worker, and my mother worked at a cafeteria, so I knew I had to save some money. So I started putting some money into mutual funds, and that led me to start watching the mutual fund, and one thing led to another, sort of. From 12 years old on, I just got more interested. I started charting when I was in college. I came out and worked as a chemical engineer for about 8 years and continued to do more and more, started trading commodities, and eventually got into the professional side of the business, and it just took off from there.
How much do you think your chemical engineering bent affected and helped your trading?
A tremendous amount. I view it from the standpoint of process engineering, and I vividly remember the very first class that I took in chemical engineering, process engineering, and it was about the classic example of there's a pipe going into a tank, there's a tank that's filling up with water, and there's an exit pipe that takes water out of the tank. And knowing the streams of water coming in, water going out, and how to process it in between, you can tell how fast the tank's going to fill up or empty. And I started thinking about trading, and isn't trading about the same thing? You have data coming in, you have to process it, whether you do it discretionarily or with a technical bent. And then you have to outflow orders. So it's sort of like process engineering. And I thought of my entire business that way. And so we had lots of programs that did lots of things, lots of data streams coming in, lots of data streams going out. And that's the way I treated the business.
What's the difference between strategy versus system?
Well, this is a common thing. I see a lot of people say, what's your system? And I think it's better to use the word strategy. So I would encourage every trader to think about that, because even if you're systematized and you're computerized and you never even make a discretionary decision all day long, you still are running a strategy which you as a human being have the discretion to change, to make better, to do research on, and so on. And so this word strategy, I dislike the word system, because it sort of connotates this black box that nobody's thinking about, and you turn your brain off. And I don't think you need to do that. I think you need to think about a strategy and think long term. Is this strategy still viable? Still, can I improve on it? Is there anything I'm noticing that I can embellish it? And if you want to then automate it, fine, but it's still your strategy.
How do you personally control risk and volatility in your portfolio?
Well, the best way to describe this, and I had just as recently as this morning, a fellow from India asked me that question off of Facebook. The best place I can tell you to just find what basically I did at Trendstat, along with a number of other very good risk and volatility controls, would be in the Van Tharp book that he wrote many, many years ago called Trade Your Way to Financial Freedom. He, with my blessing, took all of the Trendstat's in the old days, risk and volatility management programs. And we ended up, with my blessing, publishing that to everybody. And I used to give that to everybody that would come to the conferences for free, and they would take it and come back and look at it. And I'm not saying that everybody should adopt exactly what I was doing, because that worked for what I was trying to achieve for my clients. And I don't even use that exact same strategy anymore, because my client is me now. I'm retired. I don't have, you know, the liability I used to. I have a lot of different situations. I have different sizes of dollars I'm trading. I have different expertise of my clientele, since I'm an expert at this and my clientele's and expertise level is very high now, where before it wasn't so wasn't so high. So I think that's a good starting point. But what basically you're doing is taking the risk of a single position. You're trying to divide it by the amount of some type of equity figure. It could be your core equity. It could be your total daily equity, mark-to-market equity. It could be a variety of different measurements. But it's something to do with the amount of risk in the position. So that would be the distance you have to suffer through a drawdown in that position to your stop point. That turned into dollars divided by the dollars in your portfolio would be the risk percent in your portfolio. And I would suggest to everyone, as you're starting out, keep that number, that percent, very low and get used to what you're doing. As you feel more comfortable, you feel more confident, you have more expertise, you can always move the number up. You'll trade more contracts or more stocks or whatever it is you're trading. But don't start with the number. You know, this morning, one guy was talking about optimal F, which is a push the envelope to the maximum degree to make the maximum amount of money for the amount of money that you're trading and never blow up historically. And that's the problem with it, because the future is not implied by historical results. As the old disclosure says, all you got to do is have one strange market come along and you're not going to be around very long.
There's a couple of questions I want to ask from that answer. Firstly, how different is your life now that you've supposedly retired? Because in Market Wizard, you mentioned that your life probably wouldn't look that much different.
Ah, well, it has. I have a lot more fun these days. well, we could take today, for instance. I helped my neighbor across the street start up his first ever trading account at a bank up the street, and he bought 10 different exchange-traded funds. And since he had never done it before, I did the first one for him while he was looking over my shoulder. Then I had him sit down in my chair, and I looked over his shoulder, and we did the other 9 trades. He got them all off. He's very happy. He now understands how to trade in the technique that he is going to do, which I helped him design. I then ran down to an electronics store and replaced the headset that wasn't working this morning, that is now working because I have the new one on. And I bought some other electronics for some other projects around the house that I'm doing. I had lunch. I updated my market orders for the end of the day. So I did stocks. I did 25 different commodities. Check that. Then I left and I hit balls for 2 hours on the golf course. And then I came back and I worked with a landscaping project that I'm helping somebody down the street with, and now I'm talking to you. Now, to contrast that with Trendstat days, I would have gotten in there at about 6 o'clock, maybe 6:15. I then would have been on the computer or on the phone the entire day and left at about 4:30, about the same time we started this interview. And I would have done nothing but talk to clients and worked on the computer all day long. And all of this other fun stuff that I do now would just not happen. So my life's very different, but for a good thing.
You mentioned volatility, and I'd like to talk about the couple of stories of silver that's mentioned in New Market Wizards. Could you run us through those two stories?
Yeah, the one story that's probably the most impactful on my life, which gave me volatility control, was the infamous silver trade that I put on, and I forget how many contracts I had. I probably had 2 or 3 or 4 or something, and it was not – this was on a – let's see. I had about a, I don't know, $50,000 or $70,000 account. It was a nice-sized commodity account for some guy starting out, but it wasn't – I wasn't very wealthy. And the trade went over. I put the trade on and put the stop losses in and kept moving them up like my strategy would have me do. And it happened to be the time when the hunts were trying to corner the silver market. So every single day, my account started going up and down $50,000 to $100,000 a day. And my equity in my account got up to a high of, I want to say $450,000, $500,000. It was a huge number compared to where I started. It was like 10 times where I started. And the rest of the portfolio was immaterial. It was what silver did that day, was driving everything. And it was sort of driving me nuts because I was a little nervous about all these wide swings. But darn it, you know, let your profits run, cut your trade losses short. You know, I was going to do that no matter what. And by the time it went from the high of the equity curve and then came back and hit my stop, I stopped out with $250,000 left in my portfolio. So one could say, hey, everything worked out great. I started at whatever, 50, 60, 70, and ended up at $250,000. You know, all's good and fine. But then, you know, that's a good way to not sleep well at night, because you extrapolate that forward a little bit. And now you're trading, as I was at Trendstat, $600 million of other people's money. And you're talking about a, you know, swing where you're going to see trade, you know, swing, just normal days for us were up or down millions of dollars. And if you start letting that get to you, you're going to drive yourself nuts. So what I ended up doing was creating volatility control. And that, simply put, is the same thing as risk control, except you're using volatility. And I always used a 20-day average true range. If you don't know it, just Google it. The formula is on the web. And take that just the same way you'll see the formula on the web, and I divided it by the equity, in my case, the daily equity mark to market of my client portfolios. And by doing that, you could realize that when you started out with the silver trade and everything was quiet, you could have, let's say, 4 or 5 contracts, no problem. But as it started getting more volatile, the volatility controls would kick in, and they would say, okay, you can only have 3 now, so you got to peel off 2 contracts. And the way I looked at that is I'm controlling the volatility, but I'm still letting my profits run and cutting my losses short. So I'm not violating trend following, and yet I'm controlling volatility, so I'm helping my psychology. And once I put that into place, then I sort of became just steady Eddie and a little bit more boring. And that was very, very instrumental in keeping me very even keeled and tranquil in my work, and made it easy for me to last till 50 years old without burning out, because I wasn't frazzled every day like a lot of other traders are.
Tom, there's so many questions I want to ask you. One of them is related to trend following. When the markets are trending sideways, how does a trend following system work, and does it work?
It doesn't work, and it sucks. Sometimes the statistics would have you know that about 33% or 1/3 of the trades are going to be profitable. And they're going to be, because you let your profits run, they're going to be hopefully a lot higher and a lot bigger than cutting your losses short. The other 2/3 of the trade data you're going to stop out on. And a lot of those losing trades are going to happen during sideways periods. And I know of no way I have ever found so far. If anybody's got a great idea, I'm on Facebook, let me know, of knowing ahead of time that you're going to have a trending market or a sideways market. If you did that, you'd have the key to the bank, because you could avoid all the sideways markets and just trend follow the moving markets, the trending markets. It's not that simple. You kind of have to take the good with the bad, as far as I'm concerned. So I limit my losses, limit my position sizes. Market goes sideways, you just keep positioning yourself. You get breakout after breakout. You end up stopping out. Take a small loss, try to preserve your capital. When the thing breaks out and busts loose, that's when the volatility expands, everybody gets excited. That's where you're making a lot of your money. In fact, I did a study at Trendstat a couple years running where the difference between what I made that year for all of our clients versus breaking even that year was no more than 1 or 2 trades that I ended up making so much on that the rest of it all washed. And what it means is that you have to be there on every trade. That's really the other silver story that I think you were referring to earlier. My parents came to visit me, and I was dutifully watching all my trades. And a silver trade went over when my mom and dad were there, and I was giving them tours of St. Louis at the time. And you know, I missed the trade. I updated my stuff dutifully when they left the following week, and it went over. Okay, well, I didn't get the trade, so I'll just leave it alone. Well, it turned out to be a huge profit, and I missed it. And so I vowed to never miss a trade again, and I haven't. To the best of my ability, I do every trade. I was just on a cruise to Asia, China and Japan, Korea, here in February. And I took along my laptop and dealt with satellite downlinks on the ship with my internet. Sometimes it took me an hour or two to do my trades every day, but I did not miss a trade. My one prerequisite to my wife when she plans our vacation is give me Wi-Fi.
And an hour of your day to check the charts.
No, usually if I have good Wi-Fi, it takes me about On a good day, I can probably finish inside of 10 minutes. That's all it takes every day for do everything I do. I've done it so long, it's about as easy as breathing.
Okay, brings us to the next question. Tom, what do you consider to be the key ingredients to successful trading?
Well, there's three things that I've figured out that have to be there. Anyone that's missing, you're probably going to have trouble over the long run. The first is the one that everybody thinks about. It's you've got to have some way of identifying what you're going to trade and buying and selling. So I call that sort of the buy-sell engine of the trading strategy. And you need that because if you don't, like if you trade, let's say precious metals and you just trade gold, silver, copper, all these different metals, and you have no diversification, you're probably not helping your cause. But if you're trading, say, silver and corn, well, chances are corn doesn't have a lot to do with silver, so you're probably diversifying yourself a little bit. You're probably going to smooth your performance out. And some people do correlation analysis. Some people, they do a lot of different things to try to identify their portfolio. Some are just trading stocks. So you may be a little less diversified, but you could go to different industries and look at different capitalizations and different countries. Once you get that decided, the second and more important than the first item would be risk and volatility and portfolio control, rebalancing your positions, making sure that no one position has more impact to your portfolio than another. You don't want anything to be so small that it has zero impact, because I would argue then why are you even having it in the portfolio? It's worthless. Get rid of it and clean up your portfolio. I've run into clients where they've handed me four pages of stocks that they've collected over 40 years of their life, and I'm going to manage their retirement portfolio, and they hand this to me, and there's 50 shares of something and 350,000 shares of this other thing, and their portfolio is totally skewed towards a few items that drives everything, whether they make it or not. And the rest of this, you can get rid of it. It makes no difference. And I think what you got to do is you got to make sure every position can cause you this appropriate amount of pain or reward. And when you have it dialed in there, you got it perfect. That's the second item. The third item, and the most important over the other two, is I would call it investor psychology or trading psychology. If you don't have that, you can't do the other two. One of the biggest issues I've seen in my life is as recently as this morning on a Facebook discussion, people that get hung up on the buy-sell engine and what they're doing, or they try to push the envelope and make as much money as they possibly can. And then what they do is they put themselves in harm's way. They lose sleep at night. I've had a couple of friends in the industry commit suicide. I've had people, blast out of the industry and end up in real estate and just can't take it anymore. Burnouts, you name it. If you look at really closely at the Market Wizard's book and you look at every single name in both books, you will note, interestingly enough, that there's a number of people that are no longer around. They aren't retired like I am. They blew out. They were pushing the envelope and they either got burned out or they blew out. And, they might have had very successful careers. They may still be very wealthy, but they couldn't do it. I could do what I'm doing. I could be doing it now if I chose to. I don't know why I would, because I'm having too much fun. But, if I wanted to keep doing Trendstat, I could have done it. I shut it down voluntarily. I didn't have somebody force me to shut it down. And I think that's the difference between having good psychology and keeping yourself even keeled and sort of neutral, not too high, not too low, just running the strategy every day, making it sort of boring. To me, that's the sweet spot of investment psychology, and you got to do that. If investment psychology, if you don't have it, how are you going to do risk control and volatility control? If you want to push the envelope and ignore risk and volatility control, you're going to do it because you're the top dog there in the investment psychology thing, and you'll just do it. If you want to ignore a buy signal or not put your stop in because you decide the floor traders are going to run my stop, whatever you want to do to talk yourself into it, you'll do it and you'll screw up the other things. So,
and Tom, can you honestly say that over the last 40 years you have found that sweet spot every day?
Pretty much, because when you automate things and you make it into a sort of a systematized strategy, you know exactly what you have to do every day, and there's just really not you're doing your 10 minutes, and then if I'm out hitting golf balls, I don't even know what the markets are doing. It's hard for me to screw it up. I think I advise a lot of young traders to figure out what they need to do. And it may be that they have to be glued to a screen all day. If you're going to day trade, yeah, you're going to have to do that. I don't want to day trade. It seems to me too much work. But the key is whatever your capability, skill level, capital that you're going to invest, the time commitment that you are going to allow yourself, all those things go into designing your strategy, including your risk control, volatility control, your buy-sell engine, what you're going to trade, everything, where you're going to trade it. All of those things have to be well designed to fit you. Nobody out there should be doing what I'm doing. That would be foolish. No matter how successful I am, or some other trader in Market Wizards, you want to, oh, that's the way I want to trade. That's the way he or she trades. It's not the way you should trade because you are not that other person. You need to develop an inventory of yourself, your time, your capital, all those things. Think through it and then develop your trading strategy to fit that. Just make it a lot easier for you to every day execute that with almost no effort at all because it fits you so perfectly.
Mr. Serenity, what's the story behind the tagline?
Well, that came from Jack Swagger. He nicknames everybody in his books. As I remember, he used to be, when I knew him, I don't know, I haven't talked to him in a number of years now, but he used to be very caffeinated, working at Prudential Base Futures and very sort of energetic, as a very caffeinated person would be. And I think that when he was originally doing the Market Wizard books, he thought that there'd be more attraction to cover traders that had made huge amounts of money and were living on the edge and doing all these fantastic things that mere mortals could never do. And whenever he had people suggest that he interview me, they said, he kept saying, I don't know, Basso's kind of, he's kind of boring. I'm not sure it would fit in the book. It's be an outlier. So he decides to interview me one time when he saw me at a conference, and I said, sure, we can go to lunch. And he interviewed me at lunch. And then we continued the interview on the phone like we're doing right now with you. And he just talked. We went on and on for a long, long time. And he had the whole transcript. He had the re recorded the whole thing, transcripted it out. He then edits it. So he makes you sound slightly better than you already sound. Whatever you said that was brilliant, he makes it sound more brilliant. And he condenses it down, and then he has to come up with a tag for you. And the bottom line is, he said, I've never met a trader that was so darn calm about what he's doing. You seem so relaxed. You're not, your hands are relaxed, your face is relaxed, you're smiling, it's just easy. Everything is easy. And so I'm going to, are you okay with me calling you Mr. Serenity? I said, it's your book. I don't care. I don't care. And he sent me the interview and he said, now you realize you have full control over changing anything I wrote. So if you misunderstood the question and you said, no, that's not quite the right answer and you needed to edit it, no problem. You just let me know. So I call him up an hour later after reading the chapter, said, got your chapter today. And I'm calling you to give you my comments. He says, okay, so ruffle of papers. He's getting it out and he's going to mark down my comments. And I said, at page 8, flip, 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 down in the last paragraph, there's a misspelled word and then, da, 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 da. See it? Yeah. Okay. What's next? I said, that's it. He said, that's it. You mean the rest of the chapter is completely the way you want it? He said, that's pretty much what I said. It's okay. You caught the gist of it beautifully. He said, I have never had anybody that I've written one of these chapters for not change about half of it or more. So one of them actually rewrote the entire interview himself. He said, I can't believe, you are an interesting person. So that's kind of the way it all came about. And so I've been known as Mr. Serenity in the industry ever since.
You do look very happy. You smile as you speak and you glow.
Why be sad? Why be angry? It's counterproductive.
Well, on that note then, seeing you are such a happy person, one last word of advice to traders. Happy trading, happy life.
Yeah, my wife usually says it different. Happy, happy wife, happy life. But yeah, I think what you need to do once you realize that if you ran your strategy today to the T, did everything you were supposed to do, and lost money, pat yourself on the back because you did what you were supposed to do. It is not about making money or losing money on a daily basis. It's about running your strategy. And that's the key to happiness, to me, is just to keep grinding it out every day and do the other fun things in life. I mean, nobody's getting out of this alive. You might as well just enjoy it while you're here. And one of my favorite lines in my Facebook posts and my Twitter posts is enjoy the ride. If you're not enjoying the ride, what is kind of the point of all this? You know, some people are so stressed out and trying to trade every day, and they're miserable. If you're successful in your trading and miserable, in my mind, you're not very successful. You know, that's not the point of it all.
Tom Vasso, we're going to have to wrap it up there. To find out more about you or to even be able to contact you, where can they go?
Well, I'm on Facebook, Tom Vasso. I'm pretty easy to find. I got about 800 close friends, it seems, and I have about 3,000 followers on Twitter. I usually use Twitter more to tweet out change in directions. It started out as a process to help my family with their hedging, and it evolved into 3,000 people following me somehow. That wasn't the plan when I started, but that's the way it is today. But feel free to contact me. Facebook's probably the easiest way. If you send me a friend request, you'll get accepted. If you want to try to get a hold of my email, I'll give it to you. I kept my old email from Trendstat, which everybody knows me as. It's tom@trendstat.com, pretty easy. And Trendstat is TrendStat.com. So trend and statistics. That's why I called the firm Trendstat.
Tom Vasso, it was a delight speaking with you this morning. Thank you very much for your time all the way from Arizona.
All the way from wherever, Australia, Caroline. Good to talk to you, and hope to do it again soon.
And that's all we have for you today, guys. Stay tuned next week to hear John Dwyer on the marketing of WOW. I'm Caroline Stephen. On behalf of the team, we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any of the information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.